Bethany shook her head.
Of course not. Carol will fix you up. Maybe introduce you to one of the guys.
When they arrived at the club, the door immediately opened, and a pretty younger woman stuck her head in, a broad smile on her lips. She shoved her hand in before anyone could get out.
Look at it, she squealed. Isn't it awesome?
Mia pounced on the woman's hand and then pulled her so she fell into the car with them.
Oh my God, Caro, it's gorgeous. Brandon did so good.
Caro grinned so big that it lit up the inside of the limo. Then she glanced Josie and Brittany's way, and her smile got even bigger.
I'm Caroline, she said, extending her right hand. You must be Josie and Brittany.
I'm Josie, Josie said, returning her smile, and this is Brittany.
Brandon's waiting, so let's get going,
Caroline said enthusiastically.
He has our table, of course, and tonight we have two waitresses instead of our usual one. We're expanding, girls. Soon we'll have the entire club to ourselves on our nights out.
Now there's an idea, Mia drawled. Our own private club? It has a certain ring to it.
Bethany snorted as they piled out.
All you'd have to do is tell Gabe you want one and he'd buy it for you.
Mia grinned.
This is true.
Chessie, Gina, and Trish are already inside waiting at the table, Caroline explained.
Then a big, goofy smile attacked her face, and Josie glanced up to see what she was looking at. A tall, very muscular, very hot guy stood there, smiling indulgently. He had a goatee, and he wore an earring in his left ear. It was obvious, judging by the way Caroline looked at him and the way he looked at her, that this had to be Brandon, the bouncer. He certainly looked the part.
Ladies, he greeted. If you'll follow me, I'll show you to your table.
You did awesome, Brandon,
Mia said, patting him on the shoulder.
Caro's ring is gorgeous.
He smiled.
Glad you approve. I wanted her to have the perfect ring. It's only fair. I get the perfect girl, so she gets the perfect ring.
Oh, damn, Brittany muttered. That's the most awesome thing I've ever heard a guy say.
Josie had to agree. It was absolutely sweet. Caroline's cheeks flushed, but her eyes shone with love for Brandon. 2 weeks ago, seeing this would have made Josie insanely jealous, because Michael would never, ever make his feelings known in public, or private, for that matter. But now, she had Ash. Ash, who had no problem whatsoever with people knowing Josie was his. They pushed their way to the front, bypassing the long line of people waiting to get in. Then Brandon led them through the noisy crowd toward a set of tables in the corner of the room just off the dance floor. Music reverberated through the air, invading Josie's blood, pumping along in time with her pulse. Her feet were already hurting, and she knew there was no way in hell she'd dance with these shoes on. She'd probably kill herself, but the shoes were more for Ash's benefit. He'd actually been quite vocal about his choices when they'd gone shopping. She'd spare her feet for the evening. But when she headed back to Ash's apartment, they'd go back on. When they reached the table, a waitress stood there with a tray full of drinks. Mia smiled and turned to explain to Josie and Brittany,
"She always brings us two drinks to start the evening. We drink one down immediately after a group toast, and then we sip the second until she gets back with more. Bethany and I weren't sure what your preferences were, so we went for girly drinks, Cosmos and Amaretto Sours. The sours are Bethany's favorite and one of the few things she can drink to the point of intoxication. If you let the waitress know what you like, she'll swing by with another round later.
I like Cosmos,
Brittany said over the music.
I don't drink much, Josie said ruefully. I'm kind of making an exception for tonight. Ash was so eager for me to go out that I couldn't disappoint him.
Bethany and Mia both laughed.
That's because Gabe and Jace have tortured Ash with all the details of what the man gets out of girls' night out,
Bethany said with a roll of her eyes.
Try an amaretto sour, Josie,
Bethany said, shoving one of the drinks into her hands.
I don't drink much either, but this one is really good. Sweet and fruity without too much alcohol. I still manage to get wasted on them, though.
When everyone had their drinks, they gathered in a tight circle as Mia made introductions between Chessie, Gina, and Trish, and Josie and Brittany. Once they were done, they all held their drinks up.
To Caro, Mia yelled, and that big-ass rock on her finger.
To Caro, the group chorused. They clinked glasses, sloshing the drinks over the rims.
Then they gulped them down, chugging until the glasses were empty. The waitress emptied her tray of the second round drinks and with a smile left the tables to go get refills.
"Let's dance!" Caro yelled.
Josie allowed herself to be pulled toward the dance floor. She liked to dance, was actually pretty good at it. It had been a while, though. Michael wasn't into dancing or clubbing. She could shake her ass with the best of them, and tonight was as good a night as any to let loose and have some fun. She liked Mia and Bethany's friends. Brittany did, too, judging by her big smile and dancing eyes.
"We have a precedent to follow," Mia yelled.
"Oh?" Josie inquired.
"Yeah," Bethany interjected. "We get really sexy on the dance floor, make all the men's tongues hang out, and when whoever's drawn guy duty for the night gets here, we pull out all the stops and give them, Brandon, and the rest of the guys a show they won't forget."
Josie burst into laughter.
"Okay, I'm starting to see where Ash is coming from with the girls' night out thing."
Mia's eyes twinkled merrily.
"Oh, Bethany and I will fill you all in after we've had a few drinks and are taking a break at the table."
That sounded fair enough. Until then, she was going to let her hair down. Just a figure of speech, however. Bethany had spent a lot of time upsweeping Josie's hair into an elegant, messy bun, as Mia had called it. The result was sexy, if Josie had to say so herself. Soft tendrils escaped the pins holding the bun in place. Mia had used a lot of eye makeup on her, for that matter, a lot of makeup in general, but the effect was stunning. The entire package was pretty awesome. Josie wasn't vain, but she knew she looked hot tonight. Bethany had called her a bronze goddess. The dress Josie had chosen was a bronze-gold color that went perfectly with her hair and skin color. Skin-tight, strapless, and short. There wasn't much of it there, but it accentuated her legs. And then with the 4-inch heels she'd chosen? Yeah, her legs looked great. The collar really stood out with her hair upswept and the dress being strapless. She'd seen both Bethany and Mia eyeing it on the ride over, 100 questions brimming in their gazes. Josie wondered how long it would take before they started prying. Brandon checked in with them often. He and 3 other guys, Josie surmised, were also bouncers. Though one of them looked too... well, she wasn't sure what he looked, but he wasn't a bouncer. Of that, she was certain. While Brandon and the others were dressed casually in jeans and polo shirts, this other guy was wearing an expensive suit, silk shirt, diamond cufflinks that did not look fake. The interesting thing was that while Caro had introduced Brittany to the 3 bouncers who worked with Brandon, the guy in the suit had walked over and asked Brandon to introduce him to Brittany. And now? Brittany and Mystery Guy were standing off to the side, talking. Brittany had a glow about her that could only mean one thing. The guy was interested. Josie nudged Mia and dipped her head in Brittany's direction.
"Who's that with Brittany?"
Mia followed her gaze and then frowned as she studied the couple.
"No idea, but Brandon will know. I'll ask."
Before Josie could tell her it was okay, Mia gestured for Brandon to come over. He came. Caroline tucked into his side, his fingers splayed possessively over her upper arm.
"Who's the guy with Brittany?" Mia asked.
Brandon pursed his lips a moment before returning his gaze to Mia and Josie.
"His name is Kai Wellington. He owns the club."
Josie's eyes widened.
"He owns it? Like the whole thing?"
Brandon chuckled.
"Yeah, he owns several. He's usually not here that much. He just opened one up in Vegas a few weeks ago, and he's been spending all his time out there."
He glanced down at Caroline and squeezed her closer to him. "He wants me to work out there, take over security. If I go, I want Caro to go with me." For a moment, Mia looked stricken, and Josie's heart went out to her. Caro was her best friend, but Mia quickly got a grip on her reaction, and she smiled broadly.
"Is that like a promotion or something?"
"Or something," Brandon said in amusement.
"I'm happy for you,"
Mia said, but Josie could see that her lower lip trembled. Then Mia threw her arms around Caroline and hugged her tightly.
"I'm happy for both of you," Mia said in a rush. "Are you excited, Caro?"
Caroline pulled back from Mia, smiling broadly.
"Yeah, I am. I'm so happy for Brandon. He's worked hard for this, and it's huge that Mr. Wellington trusts him. But I hate to leave the city, and you..."
she finished unhappily. Brandon pulled her back into his arms and then pulled Mia to his other side.
Look on the bright side. Your girls' nights out can be relocated to Vegas. I'll make sure you're given VIP treatment from beginning to end. You can plan a couple a year.
I like the way he thinks, Bethany said, speaking up for the first time.
So, Brandon, Josie said, pulling the attention back to Brittany, what does Mr. Wellington want with Brittany? Didn't he ask you to introduce her to him?
Brandon glanced sideways again before looking back at the women. His eyes expressed regret.
I can't really say anything. Mr. Wellington is a very private man. But I'd say he was interested in Brittany. He never took his eyes off her the entire evening.
Very interesting.
Josie glanced their way again, and Brittany hadn't once taken her eyes off him, either. Ash would probably find it interesting as well, although he'd most likely do a complete background check on Kai Wellington.
We've got some drinking to do, Caroline said brightly. The evening's going to waste, and Jace will probably be here at any time. Bethany, he'll be so disappointed if you aren't completely shit-faced. He thinks you're the most adorable drunk ever.
Mia burst out laughing, and Bethany smiled, though she did reach for her drink.
I'll have the waitress swing by and set you up, Brandon said. Break's over for me. Time to make another pass around the club. If you all want a quieter place to drink and relax, I'll put you in one of the boxes overlooking the dance floor. There's a button you can push to silence the music and outside noise.
Josie smiled at his understanding. No doubt he thought that Mia and Caroline would want to talk about her impending move, and they couldn't really do that on the floor.
That sounds perfect, Bethany exclaimed. Can we move there for a bit? I need a break from dancing and standing on my feet, and I'd love a quieter place to drink and talk.
Follow me. I'll have the waitress round up Chessie and the others. They're still on the dance floor. She'll let them know where to find you when they're done dancing.
The women followed Brandon, but Josie motioned them to stop when they got to where Brittany and Kai were standing. She wanted to check in on Brittany and make sure she was comfortable or see if she needed rescuing.
Hi,
Josie said, donning a bright smile as she greeted Kai.
I wanted to let Brittany know that we're going to one of the boxes. Didn't want her looking for us.
Kai's arm slid around Brittany's waist, anchoring her to him. Okay, then, it would seem the man moved fast. He smiled, and it was a gentle, warm smile, but Josie did not miss the strength in those eyes. This was a powerful, intimidating man. She glanced at Brittany to gauge her reaction.
Your concern is admirable, Kai said in a low voice.
She almost couldn't hear over the music.
But I'll take very good care of Brittany, and I'll escort her to your box myself when she's ready.
That okay with you?
Josie directed the question just to Brittany, because so far, Kai had done all the talking. Brittany smiled, and Josie could see no strain or faking it. Her entire face was flushed.
I'm fine, thank you, Josie. I'll catch up to you and the girls in a minute.
Take your time,
Josie said with a smile.
She will,
Kai murmured. Chapter 24. Ash stretched on his couch, drink in one hand as Gabe sprawled into the armchair across from him. The two had eaten takeout that Gabe had picked up on his way over after leaving the women at his apartment. Ash checked his watch and grinned.
How drunk you think they are by now?
Gabe grimaced.
I'm sure they're well on their way.
Ash chuckled, though he was willing the hours to pass. He wanted Josie back, drunk, cute. And he was dying to see her in that dress and heels she'd bought. She wouldn't even let him see them when she tried them on in the store. All she'd said was that she thought he'd like the end result. Hell, he'd like her in a sackcloth or with a paper bag over her head. Didn't matter to him what she wore because he'd get her out of it quick enough. It was what was underneath that mattered the most. But still, the image of her made up, teetering on sexy heels and eyes cloudy with alcohol... Yeah, that did it for him. He'd listened to Gabe and Jace enough to know that girls' night out was not something to miss. Neither man had any issue with their women going out and having fun, because afterward they came home to them, and the reward was pretty spectacular. His cell phone rang, and he picked it up immediately, thinking it might be Josie. He hoped the evening was going well and that she was relaxed and having fun. He frowned when he saw his doorman's name as the incoming call. Ash, he said shortly.
Mr. McIntyre, you have visitors in the lobby. They wanted to go up, but I called first. They say they're your parents?
Oh, Jesus, Ash muttered.
Just kill him now.
They had to be here tonight, of all nights? They'd never set foot in his apartment building, just as they'd never set foot in his office building either.
Hell, before the lunch his mother had intruded on earlier in the week, he seriously doubted they'd ever stepped into one of his hotels either. Such a move reeked of desperation. His mother had wanted to talk after making her scene in the restaurant, and he'd let her know in no uncertain terms that he had no desire to discuss anything with her. He'd banned her from his hotel properties, but perhaps he should have broadened his parameters a bit. But he wouldn't have imagined that they'd come here. Making him come to them was more their style. He glanced over at Gabe, who was regarding him with a frown. He shook his head to let Gabe know it wasn't anything going on with the women.
"I'll be down. Do not let them up. In fact, never let them up if they show up again. They aren't allowed here," Ash bit out.
"I'll come down and take care of the matter personally, but in the future, if they show up, you're to show them the door, and you damn sure better not ever let them up when I'm not here and Josie is."
"Yes, sir."
Ash ended the call and then got to his feet.
"What the fuck, man?" Gabe demanded. "What's going on?"
"My parents are paying me a visit," Ash said dryly. "I'm going down to inform them they aren't welcome."
"Shit," Gabe swore. "I'll come with you."
"Not necessary," Ash said in a calm voice. "Just hang out up here. I'll be back in a few."
Gabe got up, ignoring Ash's response.
"Didn't say it was necessary, but I'm going with you."
Ash shrugged. Most people wouldn't want their dirty laundry and family drama aired in front of others, but Gabe wasn't just anyone. He was Ash's real family, just as Jace was. And Gabe knew everything there was to know about Mommy Dearest, except her showing her ass at lunch. It wasn't that Ash hadn't wanted to tell him or Jace, but it had slipped his mind. He'd been too focused on other things.
"She showed her ass the other day," Ash said as they got into the elevator.
"I was having lunch with Josie and Brittany at the Bentley, and she strutted in, making a scene. I had her escorted out and gave instructions that she wasn't to be allowed on any of our hotel properties."
"Jesus, does she ever quit?"
Ash shook his head.
"Evidently not. She insulted Britt and Josie, then she wanted to talk, as if I'd give her the time of day even if she hadn't spewed her vitriol all over Britt and Josie."
Gabe shook his head as the elevator descended.
"That's a sad fact, but maybe you ought to look into a restraining order. Have their asses arrested the next time they come poking around. Maybe that would be a wake-up call and let them know just how serious you are about them staying the hell away from you and Brittany."
"I'll make my point face-to-face," Ash said, his face going hard over the impending confrontation. Having it out with his parents in the lobby of his building wasn't his first choice, but no way in hell was he allowing them into his home. That was his sanctuary, and Josie's. He wasn't about to have it invaded by people he loathed. And he damn sure wasn't having this confrontation on their turf. He wouldn't give them the satisfaction of going to them. Ever. When they got off the elevator, Ash saw his mother and father waiting in the lobby. Neither looked happy, and when they turned and saw him, there was no welcome in their eyes, no recognition that he was their son. But then, there'd never been. He didn't understand it. Couldn't fathom being so cold toward your own children. The hell he'd ever treat his own kids this way. He strode up to them and halted several feet away, his face drawn into a glacier of ice. He stared at them both coldly until his father actually flinched and looked away, guilt edging into his eyes.
"Why are you here?" Ash demanded bluntly. His mother's gaze flicked over him and then to Gabe, annoyance sparking in her eyes.
"Really, Ash, this is a private matter. Couldn't we speak privately, perhaps in your apartment?"
"Gabe is family," Ash said in a flat tone. "Anything you have to say can be said in front of him."
She sniffed delicately and then schooled her features. He could swear she was actually trying to appear nice, beseeching, even.
His nape prickled because she resembled a bloodthirsty vampire closing in on the kill.
"I wanted to apologize for my unfortunate behavior earlier in the week."
Color rose in her cheeks, and it looked as though the words nearly choked her. They probably had. Issuing an apology was not something she ever did.
"Apology accepted. Now, if that's all..."
Anger flashed in her eyes briefly before she pushed it away, once again composing herself to look more congenial.
"Your grandfather would like to have us all for dinner. Brittany, too. He, and I, would like it very much if you would come. Your brothers and their wives and children will be there, too, of course."
Ash's eyes narrowed.
"No chance in hell."
His father cleared his throat, speaking for the first time.
"I wish you'd reconsider, son."
Ash stared at him in disgust.
"Son? When have I ever been your son?
Suppose you cut the crap and tell me exactly what it is you want here. Because it sure as hell isn't some family quality time over dinner." His mother's lips thinned and her eyes flashed. This time she did nothing to try and hide her annoyance.
"He's going to change his will. He's pissed because our family has gone to hell, as he put it. He's not happy with Brittany's defection, said if I was more of a mother, then my children wouldn't all despise me. He's made noises about how we should start to support ourselves, and that he's tired of dumping money into a nest of vipers. He said that if a mother and father can't even keep their family together, then why should he reward us by leaving us everything?"
Ash laughed, and it only pissed his mother off even more.
"This affects you, too," she hissed. "And Brittany. If he cuts us out of his will, he cuts everyone. You won't get a dime, and neither will Brittany."
Ash shook his head, still chuckling.
"Maybe you haven't been listening to me all these years, Mother dear. I don't give a flying fuck about the old man's money. I never have. It comes with too many strings, just as everything with you has strings." "If you don't care, then at least think about how this will affect your sister. She won't get anything either."
"I'll provide for Brittany so she never has to give a fuck about the old man's money or strings either," Ash said icily. "She doesn't want to be a part of this toxic family any more than I do. She wanted out. I gave her that option." His mother's fingers balled into tight fists at her sides. Then she turned to his father and all but shouted at him.
"Do something, William! Don't just stand there like a coward! We'll be ruined if he changes his will!"
"There's nothing he can do," Ash said calmly. "There is nothing either of you can possibly say that will make me go play nice with the family. I don't give a fuck about my brothers or the fact that they can't support their wives and children. I don't give a fuck about you and dear old Dad. You made your bed and you can fucking lie in it. Brittany and I will be just fine."
"I hate you," his mother hissed.
He flinched, even though he knew as much. But somehow, hearing those words from the woman who gave him life cut deep.
"Elizabeth, stop it," his father snapped. "You don't mean that. He's our son, for God's sake. Is it any wonder he won't have anything to do with either of us? Think about what you're saying."
But Ash knew she meant every word. It was there in her eyes. It had always been there since the day he'd brushed his family off and made his own way in the world.
"I think it's time you left," Ash said quietly. "And don't come back. You aren't welcome here. You aren't welcome on any of the properties I own, and here's a warning. Stay the hell away from Brittany. Stay the hell away from me. And you sure as fuck better stay the hell away from Josie and the rest of my family. You spread your poison to any of them, and I'll come after you. I'll take everything away from you. Furthermore, I'll make certain that the old man does change his will and leaves you nothing. If you don't think I'm deadly serious, just try me."
"You're bluffing,"
his mother spat. Ash raised one eyebrow and engaged in a stare down. He didn't say anything. He didn't have to. She blanched and then looked away, her face going pale as she realized just how serious he was. When she glanced back at him, she looked old, haggard and defeated. She took a step forward, her hand going to his arm. It took everything he had not to flinch away.
"Ash, please. I'm begging you. Don't do this. If you want us to back off, we will. I'll never come around again, not even to Brittany. If you'll get him to change his mind, if you'll just come to one dinner, I swear you'll never see us again unless you want to. I'll issue that promise in writing. Whatever you want. Don't let your hatred of me ruin your brothers' lives. Think of their children, their wives.
Think of your father and me. We'll have nothing.
Don't let her fuck with your head, Ash, Gabe growled, speaking up for the first time. Ash held up his hand. I won't come to dinner. No way I'll expose Britt to that, or Josie. And where I go, she goes. That's in stone. Seeing that she might be making headway, his mother leaned forward eagerly.
You don't have to come to dinner, but meet with him, Ash. You can put a different spin on Brittany leaving. Tell him whatever you want. Tell him we've reconciled. Just do whatever you have to in order to convince him not to cut us all out of his will.
Jesus, Gabe spat. This is pathetic. She sent Gabe a chilling look so full of hatred that Ash recoiled. What the hell was wrong with these people? How on earth had he come from these two self-absorbed malcontents? I'll call the old man, Ash offered. Gabe shook his head in disgust. But that's all I'm doing, Ash continued. And I'm telling you now, this shit stops. If I hear of you coming near Britt or Josie, if you make another appearance at one of my hotels, my office building, and especially my home, I'll yank the rug out from under you so fast that it'll break your neck. Got it? She nodded quickly, her eyes filled with hope. Desperate didn't even begin to cover it. The fact that she'd humbled herself enough to beg for anything from him told him just how desperate and afraid she was. He should walk away, should wash his hands of the lot of them. But they were his family, his blood. Even if he never wanted a familial relationship with them, the idea of them being destitute left a bad taste in his mouth. Get out, Ash said. I'm done with this. I'm not letting you ruin my evening.
Thank you, son, his father said in a quiet voice. This means a lot to your mother. To me. And to your brothers as well. Tell Brittany...
He broke off with a sigh and scrubbed a hand over his face.
Tell Brittany I love her, and that I miss her, and hope she's doing well.
Ash nodded and then looked pointedly at the door. His mother, evidently satisfied that she'd won this round, whirled and stalked away, her nose in the air. When Ash turned back toward the elevator, Gabe was staring at him, a grimace twisting his lips. Christ, man, that sucks. I knew they were bad, but until I saw that, I just had no idea. Ash shrugged. How's the saying go? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family?
Chapter 25 Josie followed Bethany and Mia, who followed Caroline and Brandon, to a private room located above the dance floor. Though you could see out to the floor below, Brandon assured them that no one was able to see into the box, so they were afforded complete privacy.
I'll be back to check on you in a little while, Brandon said to Caroline as he brushed a kiss over her lips.
Caroline flopped onto the comfortable couch next to Josie. Mia took the other side of Caroline, and Bethany perched on the arm.
So you're moving to Las Vegas? Mia murmured.
Tears filled Caroline's eyes.
Yeah, Brandon wants to get married before we go. We have 6 weeks to find a place to live there, get married, and move out there before he starts his new job. Mr. Wellington is being fabulous about everything. He's paying for relocation and also helping with the down payment on the house. He's very serious about Brandon and wants him to consider this a long-term position. He's doubling Brandon's salary so we won't have to worry about money, and I have plenty of time to find a job out there.
That's wonderful, Carol,
Mio said softly.
But I'll miss you terribly.
We all will, Bethany amended. Girls' night out just won't be the same without you. Caroline hugged them both and then rose.
I'm going to head to the ladies' room and see if the others are coming. I'll also snag the waitress and tell her we all want another round. Be back in a flash!
Mia watched her best friend go with an unhappy frown. When Caroline left the room, Mia sighed.
Damn, I'm going to miss her.
I know,
Bethany said.
So will I. But you still have us, Mia.
Mia looked up and smiled, and then impulsively reached for both Josie's and Bethany's hands to squeeze.
Okay, so we're alone now, and I have to admit, Josie, that Bethany and I are bursting with nosy questions about you and Ash. I hope we don't offend you, but we're dying to know all the details.
Josie laughed.
I don't mind, but I'm afraid you're in for a disappointment. There's nothing really exciting about our relationship.
Mia snorted.
You'll forgive us if we don't quite believe that. The first thing you have to tell us is just how good he is in the sack. I suppose Bethany already knows, but I have to admit, I'm curious.
Then she promptly clamped a hand over her mouth, her eyes rounding with horror.
Oh, my God, Josie, I'm so sorry.
A low moan escaped, and Mia buried her face in her hands.
I'm so stupid, I swear. Gabe and Jace are always telling me how I just blurt out whatever I'm thinking without any consideration for what I'm saying.
Josie smiled wryly.
It's okay, Mia. Really. I know about Bethany and Ash.
She glanced over at Bethany to see the other woman was even more mortified than Mia. Her cheeks were pink, and her eyes were mirrors of discomfort.
I hope you understand, Bethany said. I mean, that it didn't mean anything to Ash. Oh, God, this is even more awkward than things were the first time Jace and I saw Ash together after that night.
Josie reached over to squeeze Bethany's hand.
Please, don't. It's okay, really. I admit, when Ash first told me what happened, I dreaded meeting you. I wasn't crazy about having to spend time with a woman who'd had sex with Ash. I hated the idea of picturing the two of you together, but after meeting you, it was okay. And I think in a lot of ways, seeing how Jace was with you helped cement for me that there was nothing between you and Ash except deep friendship.
I'm glad, Bethany said sincerely. I love Ash, I really do, but as a friend. I adore Jace beyond all reason.
I suppose I've ruined any chance of us getting the dirt on you and Ash now, Josie,
Mia said glumly. Josie laughed.
Well, no, not if you give me return dirt. I'm dying of curiosity over your men, too. Like, for instance, is that a collar you wear, Bethany? Or is it just a necklace?
Bethany's cheeks went pink as she fingered the diamond that rested in the hollow of her throat.
It's a collar, she said softly. Jace wanted me to wear it. I never take it off. Is yours a collar too, Josie?
Mia asked. Josie nodded.
Well, damn, Mia muttered. I want one too. I think they're so cool. I'd love for Gabe to pick one out and put it on me. But he's not into collars. And to be honest, I never was until I saw Bethany's. The meaning behind it is pretty awesome.
Both Bethany and Josie nodded. Josie downed the last of her drink and set it on the table in front of the couch. She had a pretty good buzz going, but she wasn't even close to being plastered. She slipped her heels off her aching feet and stretched her toes, nearly sighing in contentment.
Oh, look, there's Jace, Mia said.
She'd gotten up and walked to the glassed-in area of the box to look down on the floor. She turned back to Bethany.
He's here early, isn't he? Or have we not been drinking enough?
I don't think we've been drinking as much, Bethany said ruefully.
Well, damn, we have to fix this. And the only way I know to get shit-faced in a very short time is to do shots.
Oh, hell, Josie said. I've never even had a shot of anything.
You'll be okay, Mia said. After the first one, you don't really taste them anymore.
Just then, the door burst open, and the rest of the women came in noisily. The waitress was with them, and handed out drinks, and then listened as Mia gave her the next series of orders.
Shots? Caroline asked. Since when do we do shots?
Since we're not nearly drunk enough, Mia said dryly.
Jace is already here, which means we don't have much longer. We have to catch up.
Bring the bottle, Chessie called to the waitress. Better make it two. We have a lot of women here tonight.
The waitress grinned.
You got it.
Everyone piled onto the couches and chairs, shoes going this way and that. A few moments later, the waitress returned and began lining up shot glasses on the table.
Everyone got one? Trish yelled.
After a chorus of yeses, Gina held up her shot glass and a toast. Everyone raised theirs, and then amid shouts of go, 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 they downed the first shot. Fire blazed down Josie's throat. She coughed and sputtered so much her eyes watered. She could feel it in her belly. Hell, she could even feel it travel to her bladder. It was sitting in her bladder, hot and swirling. Already she needed to go pee.
Let's do the next, Trish encouraged.
They picked up the next shot glasses, held them up as they did the last ones, and then tossed the contents back. A low chuckle sounded from the door. Everyone jerked around to see Jace standing there with Brandon. Both men looked amused. Jace was outright laughing. Then Jace stepped aside, and Brittany appeared in the doorway, her face pink, her eyes shining brightly. Behind her stood Kai Wellington. He had hold of her elbow, but he let it go when she started forward.
"Sorry I'm late," she said breathlessly. "Did you save any for me?"
Gina tossed a shot glass in Brittany's direction. Brittany caught it and then set it down so Mia could pour a shot from the bottle of tequila the waitress had brought. They were insane, all of them, Josie included. She had to be nuts to be doing this. She was going to be one hungover bitch in the morning, but for now, she was having a blast.
"I was so jealous of you guys," Brittany said wistfully.
Bethany cocked her head to the side.
"Whatever for?" "Because you all have a man to go home to? All you've talked about is how cute they think you are when you're drunk, how they'll tear your dresses off and fuck you in your heels."
Her expression went dim.
"I've never had a man who wanted to do that."
"You do now," Kai drawled from the doorway.
Brittany turned bright red, but warmth crept into her gaze as she turned to look at Kai, who was still standing in the doorway.
"Oh my,"
Mia murmured.
"Brittany, girlfriend, I'd say you scored for the night."
Brittany grinned.
"Maybe I did."
"No maybe about it, babe," Kai said in a low growl. "Have fun with your girls, but when you're done, you're coming home with me."
"I think I just came," Gina muttered under her breath.
"No lie," Trish said. "I need to change my underwear. Good God, Brittany, he is hot." Brittany's smile was 100 watts. She reached for the full shot glass and promptly tossed it down.
"They do this regularly?"
Kai asked, amusement thick in his voice. "Yes," both Jace and Brandon answered in unison.
"How come the room is spinning?"
Josie asked, her eyes crossing as she tried to keep up with the spins.
"Kai, you own the club," Brandon said. "Why does it spin?"
Kai chuckled.
"No spin, babe. It's the alcohol making you spin."
"Then why do you serve alcohol that makes people spin?"
Bethany asked in a perplexed voice. Jace laughed this time.
"It gets worse," Brandon said with a sigh. "They're really only just getting started."
The waitress bustled back through picking up empties and replacing them with clean shot glasses. She did a quick check of the bottle she'd left and then set a new one down.
"She rocks,"
Caroline muttered as she picked up another shot. "We should totally take her to Vegas with us, Brandon."
"Drink up, girlfriends! The night is still young," Chessie crowed.
Josie downed two more shots, but her eyes bugged out the entire time. She was a lightweight. No way she'd be able to hold any more liquor without puking. The room was spinning, like a merry-go-round from hell. And there were two of everyone, which made the already crowded room seem even more crowded.
"How about some music?" Mia blurted. "Are we finished talking for a bit? Who wants to dance with me?"
Josie raised her hand.
"I do, but someone has to help me up."
Josie was hoisted upward by no less than three sets of hands. Mia punched the button to allow the music through the sound system. The girls shrieked, and then everyone was up, bumping and grinding in time to the beat.
"This is fun," Josie yelled out. "Bet your ass it is," Mia yelled back. "Thanks for inviting me," Brittany exclaimed. "I've had so much fun, and oh my God, Kai wants me to go home with him after. Should I do it?"
Josie shot a fuzzy glance toward the door where the men were still standing and most assuredly heard Brittany's drunken question. Kai's lips twisted with amusement.
"Do I get a vote?"
Josie turned back to Brittany.
"Do you want to?"
Brittany blinked.
"Yeah. Yeah, I do. As long as he gives me contact info so I can check on you tomorrow and make sure he didn't murder you in your sleep, then yeah, go for it,"
Josie urged. There was more laughter by the door, but Josie ignored them. She was having too much fun dancing with her new friends. And they were great, just as Ash had said they were. She closed her eyes and put her back to Mia's as they both swayed, arms up, asses shaking the entire time. Ash's phone rang, and he saw it was Jace calling. Hey, man, women giving you fits yet? Jace chuckled. You ought to get up here, man. Ash's eyes narrowed, and he glanced over at Gabe, who was also paying close attention to the conversation.
What's going on? Ash demanded. Are they all right?
Oh, yeah, they're fine, but I think we're going to have to go to Plan B.
What's Plan B?
Well, Plan A was for me to get them all in the limo and home after they got plastered and had fun. However, they're currently on the floor of a private box, staring up at the ceiling and talking about shit I don't have a clue about. If you have any hope of salvaging the evening, my suggestion is for you to come collect your woman and get her ass home. Ash chuckled. Gabe and I will be there in a few. Watch over them until then.
Will do, Jay said as he rang off.
What the hell? Gabe demanded. Ash laughed. According to Jace, they're pretty shit-faced. He said they're lying on the floor of one of the boxes. He suggested we might want to go collect our women if we had any hope of later.
I'll ride with you and call my driver on the way to have him meet us there.
Ash nodded. Let's roll. 20 minutes later, they pulled up to the club. Ash directed the driver to park a short distance away and remain on standby. Then he and Gabe got out and walked toward the entrance. Thank God Brandon was out waiting for them. The line was still long. They would have never gotten in if it weren't for Brandon.
Do I even want to know? Gabe asked Brandon as they headed in.
Brandon laughed. No, I doubt it. They had a good night, though. Nobody messed with them. The club owner hung out with them most of the night, and security is always tight around him.
Who is this club owner, and why the fuck was he hanging with our women? Ash demanded.
Brandon laughed again.
Not women. Just one.
He seems pretty interested in Brittany. He's been Velcroed to her all night, and that's not like him. He's never short on women to keep him company, but it's rare for him to seek a woman out like he did Brittany.
Ash scowled. The man needed to stay away from his sister.
Brandon led them up a short flight of stairs to the second level where many private boxes and open tables formed a semicircle above the dance floor. At the door, Brandon knocked softly, and it opened, revealing Jace and a man Ash didn't recognize. Jace looked up and saw them. His smile was instant, and he nodded for them to come through. When Ash and Gabe stepped inside, Ash's eyes widened when he took in the sight before him. There were women everywhere. Really beautiful women. This was any man's wet dream. A room full of gorgeous, very drunk women. But his focus zeroed in on just one. Josie. She was sprawled on the end of the couch, her arm dangling over the side. Mia was lying below her, but the upper half of her body was between Josie and the couch, so her head rested on Josie's hip. At the bottom, Bethany lay in the opposite direction, so her feet were all but shoved in Josie's face. On the floor, Chessie, Gina, and Trish were lying down in various poses, while Caroline was sprawled in a chair, her legs propped up over the arm. They weren't passed out, but they were oblivious to anything going on around them. Ash chuckled. Gabe sported a huge grin. The other men were no less charmed by the sight.
What the hell do we do with them now? Ash asked in a low voice.
Gabe sent him a smug, satisfied grin.
If I have to tell you that, there's no hope for you, man.
Josie looked up, apparently only just now hearing his voice. Her smile was dazzling, her eyes completely unfocused. Her head bobbed as she spoke.
Hey, darling, she sang out. Did you know there are two of you? Who says you have to improvise to give me two cocks? There are two of you now. That would make an awesome threesome. Me, you, and you. Just saying.
Gabe, Jace, and Brandon cracked up. Ash groaned and hurried over to cover her mouth with his hand.
Jesus, baby, you can stop talking now.
She smiled underneath his hand. When he pulled it away, she sent him a completely goofy, dazzling smile that took his breath away.
Are you taking me home to fuck me in my shoes now? Mia and Bethany told me all about being fucked in their shoes after their dresses get ripped off. I'm going to be very disappointed if I don't get the same, she said in a solemn voice.
He leaned down and pressed a gentle kiss to her forehead.
I think I can accommodate you there, baby.
You ready? She held up both arms.
Take me home, she said dramatically.
Then she put a finger to her lips and said, Shh, don't tell Ash,
but Brittany is going home with a badass-looking guy tonight. I'm not sure he would approve. He'll probably want to run a background check on him to make sure he's okay for his sister.
Ash scowled and then glanced at Brittany before looking toward the door.
What the fuck is she talking about?
He asked in Jace's direction. The man standing with Jace stepped forward. He was polished. Ash saw that right off. He had money. He had that quiet air about him that told Ash he had a lot of money, but didn't necessarily go around screaming it. Ash stared hard at him, not backing down an inch. To the man's credit, neither did he.
I'm Kai Wellington, he said calmly. I own the club. I've offered to see Brittany home tonight.
Ash continued to stare him down. I don't want you taking advantage of her. She's shit-faced.
I know. I won't be sleeping with her. Yet.
Ash cringed. No way did he want to get into a discussion about who his sister slept with. I'll ensure she gets home, Brandon spoke up. You don't have to worry. Kai sent Brandon an amused look. Ash could tell he didn't like Brandon speaking up for him or offering his services, but Brandon also knew how important these women were to Gabe, Jace, and Ash. He'd been told in no uncertain terms what would happen to him if he ever let harm come to any of them when they were out at the club.
See that you do, Ash said softly.
I'd like a phone call when she's home safely.
Give me your card. I'll see that you get that call, Kai said.
Ash fished in his wallet, pulled out his business card with his cell number on it, and then handed it over to Kai. If you want to head out with your women, me and the other bouncers will make sure that Chessie, Trish, and Gina get home safely. Carol will stay with me until I get off, Brandon offered. Gabe nodded his agreement. All right then, let's get our girls and get the hell out of here, Ash announced. Chapter 26
Huddle!
Mia called out belligerently. She stood in the center of the room and waved her hand urgently toward Bethany and Josie. Josie and Bethany struggled up from the couch. Josie swayed precariously and stared down at her feet, baffled as to why they weren't working properly. She nearly went down, and a strong hand caught her elbow. Whoops! She exclaimed before righting herself. She sent her help a dazzling smile and registered an amused male grin. Was it Ash? Hell, the room was spinning so much she couldn't tell who was who or where. She teetered toward where Mia waited, and caught Bethany's arm when the other woman stumbled on her way. Giggling like fiends, they huddled with Mia.
Okay, here's the deal, Mia said in a loud whisper. We definitely have to meet up for lunch tomorrow and exchange details. I can't wait to hear how Ash reacts.
Josie frowned and then looked back over her shoulder to where the men stood, indulgent smiles on their faces.
What about Brittany? Josie hissed. She's hooking up with Mr. Club Owner over there. We have to hear what goes down there, right? Right,
Bethany said solemnly.
Brittany!
Mia yelled again. Brittany scuttled over, breaking into the circle, her face flushed with excitement.
Okay, lunch tomorrow, Mia said. We have to get all the down and dirty details.
A series of groans went up, and Josie turned, silencing the males with a ferocious scowl. They laughed, and Josie turned her attention back to the women. Brittany bit her lip and then glanced over Josie's shoulder in the direction of Kai Wellington.
I don't know, guys. Maybe I'm biting off more than I can chew.
I'll take good care of you, Brittany, Kai said in amusement.
They're eavesdropping,
Mia muttered.
Kinda hard not to, baby,
Gabe said, laughter in his voice.
You're bellowing loud enough for the entire club to hear.
Mia scowled and then lowered her voice to a loud whisper.
1 o'clock, Isabella's, for all the girls' night wrap-up.
Do they always do this? Kai asked in the background.
Hell if I know, Jace muttered. Nothing like being intimidated by being raided the next day. That's a hell of a lot of pressure to put on a man. The women giggled, and then Mia put her hand in.
On three. Let's go get our men.
They slapped their hands in a pile in the middle. 1, 2, 3! They raised their hands, breaking away from the huddle. Josie stumbled away, scanning the floor for her shoes.
My shoes! I have to have those shoes, she complained. It will ruin everything if I don't have the shoes!
Looking for these, darling? She looked up to see Ash standing there, her shoes dangling from his fingers. His eyes were bright with laughter, but his gaze smoldered appreciatively over her body. She did an experimental wiggle, hoping her dress covered everything it was supposed to. His eyes gleamed brighter, and he reached over to adjust the top, his fingers brushing over the swell of one breast. "That sight is just for me," he murmured. "Not that you don't look delectable, that hint of nipple, but no one else gets to see that." She slapped her hands over her chest in horror and then stared anxiously at the other men.
"Oh my God, did they see my nipples?"
Laughter went up, and there was a series of shaking heads. Ash leaned in to kiss her, pulling her into his arms. His entire body shook with laughter. "No, baby, nobody but me saw." As he spoke, he turned, sending a pointed glare in the direction of the other men, who immediately shook their heads and donned expressions of complete innocence.
"I need to put my shoes on,"
Josie grumbled. Ash eased her down on the couch and then gently slipped her heels back on her feet. There was something extremely decadent about having a man put her shoes back on. His hands were warm and soothing against her skin. He squeezed one foot before stepping back to offer his hand to help her up. She rose, experimentally testing her legs. She hadn't worn the shoes for most of the drink fest, and the last thing she wanted to do was face plant now that she had them on. She was shaky, but Ash firmly grasped her elbow before pulling her into his side. She sighed and melted against him, savoring the heat and scent of this gorgeous male. "Thanks for looking after them," Ash said to Brandon as they walked toward the door.
"Hey, what about me?" Chase sputtered. "Just remember, it's your turn next time."
Ash grinned.
"Looking forward to it."
Ash started toward the door, holding Josie tight against his side. She stumbled a bit, and he slowed his pace, matching it to her unsteady one. She was melted against him, so soft and sweet that he wished they weren't so damn far from his apartment. He wanted nothing more than to strip her out of that dress and fuck her in those shoes until they both passed out. Gabe and Jace had definitely not lied. He was insanely jealous of them for having experienced this before. But now he had Josie. Josie was a part of his circle of friends, just like he'd wanted. He looked forward with immense satisfaction, secure in the knowledge that from now on, he would have this. Other guys might bitch about girls' night out. Some didn't like it when their women went out without them. Hell, if they had this to look forward to, there'd be an instant run on sexy dresses and sparkly fuck-me shoes. He grinned again as he led Josie toward the ramp leading down to the dance floor. Brandon appeared with another bouncer flanking Ash and providing a protective barrier so they weren't jostled by the other clubgoers. When they got outside, he directed Josie toward the waiting car and helped her inside. When he slid into the back seat, Josie was already indelicately sprawled all over the seat, her legs extending sideways, one of her shoes dangled precariously from her foot, and he slid it back on, cupping her ankle as he did. She opened her eyes and bestowed a goofy, sweet smile on him.
"Hi," she said huskily.
He laughed and leaned over to kiss her nose.
She was so damn cute. And all his. "Hi yourself. Have fun?" "Oh, yeah," she breathed out. "You were right. Mia and Bethany are the bomb. So are the rest of their friends."
She frowned a minute, and Ash looked curiously at her, seeking the source of that frown.
"Caro's moving away, though. That makes Mia sad. Caro and Brandon are getting married and moving to Vegas. But it's okay. She'll still have Bethany." "And me," she said, pointing to her chest.
Ash chuckled. "Yeah, baby. She'll have you."
"And Brittany," Josie said, brightening. "She had fun, Ash. She was sad because she didn't have a guy to enjoy fucking her drunk, but then she hooked up with Kai."
Ash frowned. "Not sure I like the idea of her picking up some stranger in a club."
"I think he's okay," Josie said slowly. "He seems really intense, but in a good way, you know? Like you."
Ash shook his head.
"If he's like me, then I know I don't want my baby sister having a one-night stand with him."
Josie frowned again.
I don't think it'll be a one-night stand, Ash. He looked so serious, like he wanted to eat her up. He made me all shivery.
Ash scowled at that. He made you shivery? What the fuck? She giggled.
It's okay. You know I only want you. But he's hot, and he thinks Brittany is hot. I'm happy for her.
Ash sighed. I'll be the judge of whether we're happy for her or not. I'll have to do some checking on this guy, see if he's on the level. But then, what could Ash say about being on the level? It made him a flaming hypocrite. He'd done some not-so-great things. He didn't regret them, but they were there. He just wasn't sure whether he wanted his sister involved with a man steeped in gray. He knew his intentions were good, but Kai Wellington? But enough of Brittany and Kai. He'd get a call later, as Kai had promised, or Ash would send someone out to check on Brittany, and then tomorrow he'd do some looking into Kai Wellington's background and see if he had any skeletons that would make him unsuitable for Brittany. Right now, he had a really drunk, really cute, sexy-as-hell woman he was dying to get home and out of that dress. Have to say, baby, that dress and those shoes are you. She sent him another dazzling smile, teeth flashing, a dimple forming in her cheek.
You like?
Oh, hell yeah, I like, he growled. I'll like them a lot better when I get you home and out of them. Her nose bunched up, and she frowned.
But not the shoes, Ash. Mia and Bethany said they always get fucked with the shoes on. We can't mess the system up. It's the girls' night out creed.
He laughed. Oh yeah, baby. The shoes definitely stay on. When they pulled up to his apartment building, he got out and then reached in to help Josie out. After he was sure she had her legs underneath her and wouldn't take a header, he guided her toward the door, his arm securely around her. On the elevator ride up, she put a hasty hand to her stomach and turned green as the elevator rose. He pulled her into his arms. Deep breaths, baby. Can't have you getting sick on me now.
I'm fine, she said faintly. The elevator just made me a little queasy.
The doors opened into his apartment and he helped her out, immediately heading toward the bedroom. His cell phone rang and he glanced down to see an unfamiliar number. Knowing it could be Wellington calling about Brittany, he kept hold of Josie with one hand and answered with the other. Ash McIntyre, he said.
This is Kai Wellington. Brittany is home and safe. You don't have to worry, Mr. McIntyre. Your sister is in good hands.
Thanks, Ash murmured. Appreciate the call. They rang off, and Ash made a mental note to make sure all was well with his sister the next day. Then he turned his attention to Josie, easing her onto the edge of the bed.
Okay, darling, we're home, and you're in charge of the girls' night out seduction. What do you want your man to do?
Her eyes glowed, almost neon in the faint light of the bedside lamp. Her lips parted, and he almost let out a groan. God, but the woman was going to drive him insane.
First you have to tear off my dress. Then you have to fuck me long and hard.
She looked so hopeful that he chuckled.
Anything you want, baby. Don't ever let it be said I disappointed my girl.
She smiled, letting out a blissful sigh.
I like that.
What do you like, baby?
When you say my girl, it sounds so sweet and sexy.
You are my girl, he said, letting his voice go deep and low. She held up her arms.
Then tear off your girl's dress and fuck her until she passes out.
He laughed but moved in, pulling her to her feet. That I can do, love. She sighed again, teetered unsteadily before regaining her balance.
I love all the things you call me. They're so nice.
He grinned, turning her around to unzip the dress. He let it fall to her feet and then helped her disentangle her shoes from the material. He sucked in his breath when his gaze traveled back up her body.
Holy hell, he murmured. Where did you get the lingerie?
I've had it, she said smugly. Michael never saw it, so don't worry. You're the only man who's seen me in it.
I was saving it for a special occasion. I'd say this qualifies.
Oh, yeah, it definitely qualifies.
She turned, leaning into him, her eyes big, and she whispered as though she were imparting a huge secret.
It has a slit in the bottoms. You don't even have to take them off to fuck me.
His body shook, and he cupped her chin, leaning down to fuse his mouth to hers. She tasted of tequila and something fruity. Her tongue, hot and wild, met his in a clash. He sucked it deep, wanting to devour her whole. She whimpered against his mouth. She kissed him lustily, her body writhing against his in need. Already he could sense that she was precariously close to her release. It wouldn't take much at all to tilt her over. But he didn't want it done so soon. If she came now, she might very well pass out in a sated alcohol coma. He'd looked forward to this for too long to have it all over in 5 minutes.
"Going to fuck you hard, baby,"
he said, purposely inflecting an edge of steel into his voice. She shivered against him just as he knew she would.
"Your mouth, your pussy and your ass. Going to have them all before it's over with."
"Ash."
His name came out in a needy wail that had him grinning. Oh yeah, she was hot and worked up. Her entire body was flushed with heat. She was rubbing her body against his like a cat in heat.
"Get on your knees," he ordered brusquely.
He held on to her as she slid down his body and perched on her knees. He grabbed a pillow and tucked it underneath her before he finally let go of her. He stood a moment, making certain she wouldn't pitch over, and then he stepped back, unzipping his fly. His cock surged into his hand, protesting the fact that his hand was wrapped around it and not her mouth. He pushed his free hand into her hair, pulling her roughly forward as he pressed his dick to her lips. She opened around him with a breathy sigh that sent tingles racing down his spine. His balls drew up tight, aching as his erection slid over her hot tongue. She closed her mouth around him, sucking him deep. He let out a harsh groan, thrusting all the way to the back of her throat.
"Fucking beautiful," he rasped out.
The wet sucking sounds she made were loud and erotic in his ears. Each time he pulled back, he met resistance as she attempted to suck him back. Her cheeks hollowed with each pull, and then puffed out when he thrust forward again. He loved the sight of his cock sliding through her lips and then retreating, wet with her saliva. She made a smacking sound that damn near had him coming on the spot. For several long moments, he enjoyed the feel of her tongue sliding over the underside of his cock. Then she circled the tip, teasing the sensitive head when he pulled out. No way he was going to last if this kept up. Reluctant to leave the sweetness of her mouth, he withdrew and pulled her to her feet. Her eyes were glazed, a mixture of the alcohol and intense desire. They glowed, warm and bright, full of the sweet he associated with her. He laid her back on the bed, pulling at her bra, wanting to feast on her breasts. He leaned over her, between her splayed thighs, and ran his tongue over the swell before capturing her nipple and sucking it strongly between his teeth. Then he nibbled a path up to her neck, devouring the supple flesh before tugging at her earlobe, nipping with just enough bite to make her cry out. He licked the shell, sliding his tongue over the contours of her ear before dropping down again to suck at the lobe.
"Ash," she wailed, drawing his name into two syllables. "You're killing me."
He chuckled.
"That's the idea, baby. Want you so worked up and crazy that you take me in your ass without any effort."
She shivered uncontrollably, her body arching helplessly into his.
"I'm already there," she panted. "I reached the crazy point about 2 minutes ago."
"Good."
He took his time, licking and devouring her nipples until they were red and straining into rigid peaks. Then he let his mouth roam lower, kissing the softness of her belly, and then lower still, nuzzling through the slit in her panties and into her velvety, plush folds. He licked over her clit, making sure he didn't spend too much time there or she'd come. He sucked and kissed his way lower until his tongue found her entrance, sliding inside just like his dick would soon do.
"Never get enough of you," he said hoarsely. "You taste so sweet, addicting."
He continued his sensual assault on her most intimate flesh until she was shamelessly begging him to end it. She was bucking upward, her motions frantic and needy. He grasped her hips, holding her in place as he continued fucking her with his tongue.
"Ash, I'm going to come."
He drew away, leaving her dangling on the edge. He stood there a long moment, his breaths coming just as harshly as hers. Then he positioned himself between her legs, pulling her ankles up so he could grasp the heels of her shoes. Her eyes widened, excitement bursting in the aquamarine depths. He pushed her legs even farther up until they were doubled against her body, her knees spread wide. He didn't wait, didn't prolong the agony. Making sure the slit in her panties was parted, he pushed hard and deep on the first thrust, instantly filling her to the hilt. She let out a cry. Her pussy swallowed him up in a heated rush that had him baring his teeth as he fought to maintain control. He knew he couldn't do this long, so he thrust rapidly, working them both into a frenzy. Deep. Hard. Just as he'd soon do in her ass. When he felt her quiver more urgently around him, he went still, buried balls deep inside her. He sucked in steadying breaths, closing his eyes as he got it together. Then he withdrew, still holding on to her heels with both hands. He let one go, hastily tearing away the silky panties he'd just fucked her in. He wanted her ass, and as sexy as the lingerie was, there was only one slit that gave him access to her pussy. He slid his hand underneath her now bare ass, pushing upward so her ass was presented. Her eyes widened when she realized he meant to take her this way. Usually when he fucked her ass, she was on her hands and knees, but this way she was a lot more vulnerable, completely open to him. Her legs hiked high in the air, her ass curved upward just ready for him to dive in. He guided his cock to her ass, taking only a moment to reach for the lubricant.
"I'm not using much this time, baby. Just enough to get inside you. I want you to feel it. Feel me pushing inside."
Her breath hiccuped over her lips. She licked them in anticipation, and he damn near lost it on the spot. His jaw clenched. He hastily applied lubricant to his straining erection and then tossed the tube aside as he positioned himself. The minute he lodged the head against her opening, he removed his hand and wrapped it around her heel so both hands were holding her shoes, spreading her wide for his invasion. He pushed in, not hesitating. She opened for him, her eyes growing even wider as she stretched to accommodate him.
"That's it, baby," he said in an approving tone. "Let me in. I'm going to fuck you hard until we both come. I want you to use your hand because I'm going to be holding your shoes the entire time I'm fucking you. But don't come until I tell you, okay?"
"Okay,"
she said in a dreamy voice. She slipped one hand between her thighs and over her clit, emitting a moan when she stroked. Using that moment of inattention when she was focused on her own pleasure, he surged forward, opening her in one ruthless thrust. She bucked upward, her cry splintering the air. He was balls deep, pressed against her, straining to get deeper still.
"Oh, hell," he groaned. "Not going to last long, baby. You need to get there because I'm going to go hard and I'm not stopping until I come."
"I'm there," she said breathlessly. "Don't stop, Ash. I'm so close."
Needing no further encouragement, he began to thrust hard into her. His thighs slapped against her ass, jiggling her entire body. She closed her eyes and arched her neck upward as he began the race to completion. She came first, her sharp cry washing over him, urging him on to his own orgasm. He began coming, jet after jet of his semen shooting deep inside her body, easing his way. Her fingers worked furiously over her clit as he rammed harder and deeper. Then she let her hand fall away, her chest heaving, eyes wild and unfocused. He lunged into her one last time and held himself deep as he finished emptying himself into her body. Then he lowered himself onto her, carefully letting her heels go and allowing her legs to fall limply onto the bed. They were both struggling to catch their breath, to suck in enough air into their burning lungs. He closed his eyes, gathering her tightly against him,
holding her close so he felt the beat of her heart. It had never been like this. Never before. Only with Josie. His heart was so full, it felt near to bursting. So much he wanted to say, that he wanted to tell her. Her fingers stroked through his hair, caressing gently before they fell away, her body going lax beneath him. He picked up his head, staring down at her, a broad smile curving his lips upward. She was out cold. Chuckling, he gently extricated himself from her body, and then he went into the bathroom, returning with a warm cloth to clean her up. After ensuring she was clean and comfortable, he pulled her heels off, then rid himself of the rest of his clothing before picking her up and positioning her on the bed. He crawled in beside her, reaching to turn off the lamp. The room was doused in darkness, and he pulled her close, into the shelter of his body. He stroked her body, enjoying the feel of her warm and sated next to him. Yeah, girls' night out definitely needed to be a regular event. There wasn't anything better than having a gorgeous, very drunk, cute-as-hell woman